Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Chase Thomas Podcast, where I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee. Over there, just a little bit of ways, over there in Los Angeles, California, my good friend, 49ers Hubs, Evan Swords. Evan, good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Not too bad. It's a rare Falcons W week here on the podcast after 2 weeks of just pain with a capital P. I got to experience some rare joy for this Falcon season. Went undefeated over the weekend with my Tennessee Volunteers and Atlanta Falcons. It was a great football watching weekend for me.
Tennessee had a great game. You must have been hyped.
I was there. I was in the building. It was incredible. We'll say a little bit different because I broke my foot a little over a week ago. So
wait, before the wedding?
Yeah.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
I've literally never broken a bone in my life, Evan. Yeah. And as you know, I'm a runner and was on like mile 3, wrapping up my run. I was literally like 0.25 miles from my house. And was stepping off the ledge, when I say ledge, like a little crease in the sidewalk, to cross from one side of the street to the other, and got caught up, planted extremely hard on my left foot, went forward way too far, and popped really loudly. Ooh. As I was, I had noise-canceling headphones on, like those Beats ones that are pretty strong, and I heard the pop pretty loud. Oh. So I'm glad I had those on because I don't know what the sound would have been like if I didn't have anything. Cause it scared the crap out of me, and went and got checked out, have a navicular stress fracture.
Did you boot it for the wedding?
No, it was not. That was not going to happen. So I sucked it up for the rehearsal dinner on Friday and the wedding. I mean, I wouldn't have been able to put on my suit.
How bad? Well, you would have just cut the pant leg. How bad was it without the boot?
Huh?
How bad was it without the boot?
I mean, it was. I'm a warrior, man. When you get into a marriage, man, it's not just about you anymore. You got to make sacrifices.
Oh, I get it. But this is uncharted territory. I don't know if I've ever heard about. this is like a football player playing in the playoffs, the Super Bowl. This is like the game of the year, the only game that matters.
I mean, that's what the wedding is. You only get married once, hopefully. Yep. Like
statistically.
Yeah. Well, hold on. I'm a week and a half in, Evan.
Oh, no. Chase Thomas will be married to the same female, same woman, same lady for the rest of his life. There's no doubt about it in my mind.
I would agree. And it was an awesome night. It was an awesome wedding. But, yeah, I mean, the boot, we went boot city. come honeymoon time. So then I just had to get through the next day. But like, I will say, and I don't want to like, I got really mad at the photographers at the end of the night, because the last thing they asked me to do, and they were amazing, like this was not really their fault, but they like encouraged me to dip my wife at the end of the night, like as we were leaving after the sparklers and everything.
After you've been on your feet.
Yes.
All night.
And if you know anything about dipping, you have to plant your foot and you have to put a lot of weight, not just your own, but your significant other's weight along with it. I just, because everyone's cheering and everyone at the wedding did not know that I broke my foot. So they did not know I was just like, bam, just really gritting it out here to get through this. And they did it. When I say that I've never come so close to just yelling the F word out, just one of the most insane screams came very close to happening at the end of my wedding, because it hurt so bad. And I got halfway down and was like, nope. And we're like, I was like, we're going away. I've got to go ice this. I'm going to start crying in front of these people. This has to stop. This night is over. I hope you guys had a great time. This is it for me. I got to get out of here. But yeah, it's been weird because I've never broken anything. And it's also just very frustrating hopping around.
Well, I mean, everything. In general, like the wedding for anyone is all about hoping that you have everything under control.
Mm-hmm.
And to spend the entire night not having everything under control must be very frustrating.
I just couldn't do a lot. Like I did my dance with my mom and I did my dance with Samantha and we got through the stuff. But also, I don't know if you heard about this, but Tennessee, a little rocky, a little hilly. So like I had to go up and down a hill multiple times with a broken foot. So I don't know, man. Like it was, I won't lie, it was rough. And then a lot of people after the fact, they're like, we didn't know that you were like, and I was like, yeah, I mean, I didn't really want that to get out and like this whole thing, because I feel like it would have turned into a bigger deal if it had gotten out.
Yeah.
But, you know, we made it through.
We power on.
We power on. I'm booted up and I'm in a boot until Halloween, it looks like.
Short-term IR.
Short-term IR. And that's the other thing, too, is like when you read about like different, because I was looking up different players, like Derrick Henry. Broke his, remember last year he was out 2 months because he broke a foot in his foot, right?
Right.
And he immediately had surgery. And then Ozzie Albies, Brave second baseman, he did something similar and he had immediate surgery and he was out a couple months. They do that with athletes. When your livelihood is based on your athletic availability, they're like, surgery, done. Get in there. We'll put it in it. You'll be doing rehab in 2 weeks and you'll be back on it in a month and you'll be running great in a month and a half.
Right.
When you're in your 30s and you're a podcaster, you're a grad student, they're like, I mean, it's just not going to be as good anymore. You might want to be careful going forward. You're probably never going to run the same again. And chances are you'll probably re-injure it. Like, I'm terrified. I don't know if I'll ever be able to, like, it's going to be a long time before I'm running again. So I'll be swimming. Like, swimming's probably where I pivot a little bit for my exercise.
I think you got to look into the bike.
That's what my fiance... I just have always had an anti-bike bias living in Atlanta for so long, where cyclists think the road is the same for them as it is for cars.
Yeah, but you're not that guy.
I'm not that guy, but I would get mad at those people for doing that and slowing up traffic. And I just had this vitriolic hate towards cyclists in Atlanta who did not use the sidewalks that were right there or all the beautiful parks that are around our city. And they would just ride on like traffic. Like we're in 5 o'clock traffic and they're just riding on the highway. Yeah. Just riding. What are you doing?
You're not that guy though. So you ain't got to worry about that.
Can't do the outfits either. Like the skin tight look that those guys do. I can't do it.
I'll tell you this. I've been working out every day of my life, literally like 6 to 7 days a week for the last 8 years. And the best shape I've ever been in was when I was living in Santa Monica and I sold my car and the gym was 4 miles away and I biked 4 miles there and back. So 8 miles total.
I remember this era. We were potting at this point.
Yeah, of course. But like that was literally the best shape of my life. I was riding that bike every single day. I don't think there was a single percentage of fat on my body. So I will say I think if you find a decent little path where you're not interrupting the flow of traffic, you might find some happiness there.
It's definitely easier on the foot. I mean, we're just trying to get this freaking boot off my foot is right? The main thing. But like, I'm anti-surgery. I won't do it. If this doesn't heal right, don't care. I'm just going to have a shitty foot for the foreseeable future, because I've read the horror stories of like getting the screws in and your foot really doesn't heal right. And then I'm looking at like 6 months of rehab and all kinds of stuff. I'm like, nope, unless it's going to kill me, I'm not doing surgery. So I'm doing the boot for as long as I can, but I'm not doing it. I'm not an athlete. I'm not going down that road and being in a boot for like Christmas and doing the whole, no, not doing it. I got to graduate in December. I'm not walking and all that. No. So we're in. It's also what you'll find, Evan, is people will give their medical advice and their medical history to you when you're in a boot, where they'll tell you. It's like a way of connecting, where strangers will be like, oh, what'd you do? Well, here's what I did. And then spend 15 minutes telling you about how they hurt themselves previously. And no one does the same thing. That's what I've also realized, is whatever the doctor tells these people to do, everyone just kind of comes up with their own treatment options. They're just like, well, the doctor said this, and then I did this, or the doctor that... It's like no one actually follows any of the same advice. Everyone's doing their own thing in this world.
Well, I mean, I think the one thing I will say that I can attest to wholeheartedly, especially with a girlfriend who is currently studying to get into medical school, and she started today, by the way, at a orthopedic surgery for sports medicine. So maybe I can hook you up.
No, because I don't want surgery. It's the exact opposite of what I'm looking for. So we're definitely not talking to her about any of this, because they're like, oh, no, we'll get you in there, in and out, 45 minutes, you'll be fine.
It is not the barrier of entry for medical school is not as high as you think. Let me just say that.
That's not reassuring, Evan.
No, yeah.
It also is a business where they want you in there. Surgery is expensive. It's good for the companies. It's good for the hospitals. It's good for the surgeons. They want to do that.
God, we're getting old. We're now talking about the racket that is healthcare.
Well, Evan, you since we have been away, we did not do last week's show on account of me being on my honeymoon, but you had an experience that I think we should touch on before we get into this weekend's games and our experience with the NFL this weekend. But you were on the field. I was watching this like on my phone. I'm like at dinner with my wife. And I'm seeing, I'm like, do I comment? And I'm like, I don't want to start this because I feel like I'm supposed to be present. But I'm also like seeing this and I'm like, why is Evan on the field? Why is Evan doing this? Like, I kind of need to understand what's going on right now. So I did not reach out because I was like, I got to stay away. I got to be off the grid for the week. And I stayed off the grid. But you were the most difficult person for me not to be like, Evan, what is going on here? Why are you now a San Francisco 49er fan number one? What's happened since I've been gone?
Yeah, man, it was crazy. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to pretend for 1 second like it wasn't just it was incredible. But plainly put, me and my girlfriend Sarah got to join the great folks at the Seattle Faithful 49ers fan group, who I have done podcasts with Alex Carson, who runs that fan group. For many years, he is a good friend. He is family to me at this point. And I've always been fortunate because every year they essentially bring that fan group out to sit in what's called the 49ers Gold Mine. The Gold Mine is essentially supposed to recreate the same type of thing that like fan section of soccer games would create, right? Setting the tone for chants, cheering on, like, you know, really trying to be the super fan group to really get the stadium going. And I got to say, shout out to Nick Clark, who is the person in charge of fan engagement for the 49ers, whether it be on road games, doing fan meetups at bar, some different bars in the cities, or if it's at the home games leading this. And so I got to go just in general. And being that I love these people very much, the last time we went, Alex Carson, who runs the 49ers Faithful group, went out for trivia during halftime. They have some people come out. He went on the field and they gave him some hard questions and he bombed terrifically.
What was one of the questions? Did you know the answers or would you have bombed too?
I think I wouldn't have gotten them all wrong because one of the questions, Jerry Rice was the answer and he didn't say Jerry Rice. And when in doubt,
that's rough.
Answer Jerry Rice. Right. And I don't think I would have made that mistake, but he did. So long story short, they have invited me this time. And I think in part just because, you know, I like to think I represent myself as a 49ers fan well. But also, I think that, you know, Alex was excited to see me potentially fail the way he did. Set me up for
success. He had hidden motives here.
100%. So, you know, they go, hey, we're at halftime, you know, a little bit before halftime, we're going to bring you down. And so they took me down and through the locker rooms where they all walked through.
Did you see anybody?
Well, you know, the game was still going when I was.
Oh, I thought it was at halftime. Oh, so they were still going
down. I was walking down before halftime, like 5 minutes before. So, you know, we get up to the kind of the entrance to the field in the corner. And I'm with me and a little kid who was about to go do the kickoff. Like when they, you know, when the team kicks off, he runs out, he grabs the you know, the stand, if you will, and then brings it back. And so we're sitting there waiting, right? And she's like prepping me. She's like, hey, you know, we're going to have you go walk out here with this person. We'll answer the questions, yada, yada, yada. And so they asked three questions. They were not hard questions, and I don't know if that was a way to make sure that we didn't screw up this time, or maybe I got lucky, but, you know, I was able to answer all three questions and win $200 in gift cards, which was cool, but just being on the field was cool. They had me up on the boards. Everyone, you know, it was very funny getting, like, your phone just blowing up, being like, I just saw you. Why are you on the field? But what was really cool is then they go, okay, we're done. That experience was over. I was, you know, it was really awesome to be able to do that. But then they go, well, now we got to take this kid over to the middle of the field so he can be prepared to run out. So you're not going back yet. You're going to follow us. And then we just need you to sit tight at the middle of the field and wait. So I'm just literally maybe 20 yards from all the players as they're coming out to the sideline. I'm on the 49ers sideline. You know, Spencer Burford, who's the new guard that we drafted this year, is up on the bike, you know, getting warmed up. Mike McGlinchey, the right tackle, is walking over. He's the largest human being I've ever seen in my life. And I was just sitting there for like 10 minutes, just on what felt like forever on the field. And it was amazing.
Did you say something to him?
I mean, I was a little far away.
Okay.
But you know what? The small world this is. We all know my White Claw.
Yes.
You know, affiliations and the White Claw group that I'm in. Mm-hmm. Ironically enough, you know, Robert Lloyd, who is the son of the team photographer, is also one of the equipment guys. He works for the team as well. So he's on the field and he walks over to me and he's like, yo, why are you here? And I'm like, I wish I knew, dog. I wish I knew. He's holding Trent Williams' like chain on his neck like he does every game. I'm like, all right, man, it's good to see you. I'll catch you later. But yeah, got to go on the field. Got to see some things I never expected I'd be able to see, and I won $200.
So what was one of the questions you got asked?
I mean, I think it was like who caused the fumble last year during this game to win the game, and the answer was Talanoa Hufanga.
Did they give you choices, or did you just have to go off the dome?
They gave you multiple choice.
Okay,
so it was three multiple choice questions. Another question was like, you know, who did this play? And it was obvious that it was Dre Greenlaw. Like, I mean, like, I don't think a normal fan would be able to get those questions right. But if you follow the team, like in any, you know, even at the bare minimum, I think you're going to get them right. So
but
I don't
see,
know.
I was more wondering too of like, you could know it, but like you could freeze up, man. Like with all those people around, you're on the field. It's different to answer questions like that. Was it for you?
It was terrifying. And the one thing that I will say, though, the third question, everyone was like, oh, you didn't know it. You had to guess. And the reality was I was trying to think about in my head how to pronounce Talanoa.
Because
that's his name, Talanoa Hufanga. And brother, just to go, just to have the thought in my head, how do you pronounce that? And then thinking about it, that took so long in real time. Like, and everyone was like, oh, you didn't know that last one. I was like, no, I knew the question right away. I was trying to think about how to pronounce his name without butchering it. And just like to use your brain in that moment is impossible. Impossible.
Did they get your name right? Did they ask you ahead of time? Is it Sowards? Is it Swords?
They, they asked me how to pronounce it ahead of time, and I said, you know, it's like two swords, the plural of sword.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, we got it. That's easy.
Unlike
Chase Thomas,
I was gonna say,
been on the same podcast with me for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, no, not that.
Goodness gracious. Well, that's awesome, man. I'm glad you're able to do that. It's funny. You and I are very different. Cause like, if anyone asked me to do that, I'd be like, absolutely not. Cause if I crater, there's no upside for me, where if I mess up, then I'm going to be joked. It's going to be a running joke for the rest of my life. If I get everything right, they're gonna be like, well, duh, you're the sports renaissance, man. You do this for a living. There's no upside for me doing something
like that. But the upside was, I mean, I kindly disagree. Cause if it was Tennessee or Atlanta, you would have got it right. And the upside is every single person in that stadium was cheering for you and hyped.
That's true.
I mean, literally, when I was walking over to the other sideline, right, just like waiting, like not even a part of anything, just walking over, everyone at the bottom, like the top, you know, the bottom of the stands was like pointing at me. They're like, yeah, good job. You did it. You killed it. And I'm like, yeah, it's me. Yeah. Like it was top experience. It was great. I highly recommend it.
That's awesome. But at some point, unfortunately, we're going to talk about your actual 49ers watching this weekend, because that was rough. We'll get yours out of the way, because my experience was a little bit different. I mean, it wasn't all roses with the Falcons and Seahawks, but we'll get to that in a second. Your team, what we call this segment, our team, our time, our team. It's a little bit of a mouthful there, but. Your team, Jimmy G, steps out at the back of the end zone. Dan Orlovsky is loving it on Twitter. Jimmy G has really the game from hell, but he's running for his life virtually all night. Lot of problems in this one. Injuries, obviously, a part of this too. But what happened in this game? What happened to Jimmy Garoppolo in Denver last night, Evan?
So, you know, I am, I think, without a doubt, one of Jimmy Garoppolo's biggest defenders. I have been forever. And that's how I've always been with all 49ers QBs. You know, whether it was Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick, like, that's the type of fan I am. Even if they play bad, I'm going to look for the good. And even if they are, you know, are losing games, I'm going to try and figure out a way to be positive about it. And I will be the first to say Jimmy had a terrible game. Yeah, and it sucked, too, because it's just like the dichotomy that is Jimmy Garoppolo, right? He had some fantastic throws. Like the throw to, you know, a fullback, Kyle Juszczyk, was one of his best throws I've ever seen. Just fantastic. Right on the sideline, toe tapper to a fullback. You know, he had some throws where he was throwing into triple coverage. Looked great. But the problem was, is, you know, a lot of people want to talk about how, oh, the downfield passes with Jimmy Garoppolo are a struggle. And I kind of toe the line there. I disagree in that I don't think Kyle really gives him an opportunity to excel there, let alone be comfortable making those throws. But like, you know, he throws that route to Kyle Juszczyk, a fullback. Again, I'd like to, you know, emphasize that. That was an incredibly hard throw, and it was not a short pass. And he killed it. But then there was another throw, you know, to Debo that he overthrows the ball, and it's a terrible throw towards the, you know, the right sideline. There was a play where Debo was just running and he wasn't even looking at him. And that was kind of like the argument that I was trying to have all day today, where it's like, there's a lot of fans that look at sports, and I think the NFL in general, right? And, you know, they go home and they watch the film and, you know, they see the route where, you know, he throws it to George Kittle, but Debo's open, and they're like, ah, Jimmy missed this throw. He should have hit this person. You know, what an idiot. And like, I'll give it to you. If Jimmy has a bad throw, which he did multiple times last night, he had some terrible throws. He had a couple interceptions. He had a safety/pick-six. That it wasn't a pick six.
I was going to say, that's something that's going to be forgotten about. It's better that he did what he did. Like, it was actually the right play.
Well, and there was also, like, the tipped interception that, you know, DJ Jones, 49ers legend, tipped. Yeah. That was likely going to be a pick six as well, the way the ball was going thrown. If it wasn't for
the bad one was the end with triple coverage, basically. That was it.
Right, but the one that got tipped, right, the only intercepted ball of the night, if he hadn't have tipped that ball, he might have got intercepted to a pick six. Like the linebacker like saw it and was going for it. And when DJ Jones tipped the ball, you see the linebacker in the background. They weren't excited. They were like, ah, because they knew that they were going to get that ball and run up to the house. So, you know, what I would say is this. Overview of the game. 49ers have the best defense in the NFL. They held the team to...
Best in the NFL.
I won't hear differently. I'm not joking. Like, in spite of the fact that the 49ers were literally 1 of 9 on third down and could not keep the defense off the field, the defense, they were the best defense on the field. If it wasn't for Jimmy Garoppolo throwing an absolutely terrible ball that got tipped and got picked and gave them really incredible field goal position, which allowed Melvin Gordon to run from the 1 yard line, the Broncos were nowhere near scoring last night.
So you don't seem like you're all that concerned long term with the Niners. You think this was just the game from hell?
I don't even know that it was game from hell. Some people, and I'm, once again, I try to be, like, as much as I'm a homer, I try to be realistic with my thoughts. And you know, some people think that, well, hey, Jimmy didn't have the playbook all offseason. Jimmy wasn't practicing with the team, right? Jimmy was convinced he was leaving. Yeah. Some people think that, you know, hey, Jimmy's rusty. We didn't have him practicing.
Yeah.
I as a Jimmy supporter, even I'm like, well, dude, he's been with the team for 5 years. You think he doesn't know
the playbook hasn't changed. Like, he's
right. Familiar. Like, come on. So
he's also got financial incentives to be as ready to go as humanly possible. Every game counts significantly for Jimmy Garoppolo right now.
And he also played much better against Seattle.
Yeah. Everybody, after playing Seattle this week, Evan, everyone's going to play good against this team. Seattle is a lot of fun to get your offense back on track. It's a good time.
I wish we could play them all year long.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I wouldn't say I'm worried because I do think that the 49ers defense is suffocating. Their linebackers, you got to remember, the 49ers defense going as far back to 2011 with Alex Smith always had decent corner play and decent safety play. And it was the front four, the front seven that allowed them to do things that were absolutely incredible on defense. That's not the case this year. They have that same strong front defensive line. And they also have really good corner play. Diamondre Lenore, who, you know, go Ducks, who basically didn't play last year, came in and replaced the nickel over rookie Sam Womack. You know, Kaywan Williams, who also was on the Broncos this game, who basically had, you know, I think the play that really won him the game. Lenore played fantastic in the nickel spot. One of the like low-key best signings in free agency last year, Charvarius Ward from the Chiefs. There was a play that Russell Wilson did as Russell Wilson magic and tossed the ball that Ward like batted down with like the most athletic play I've ever seen from a 49ers corner. I guarantee Russell Wilson's like, that's never happened to me in the 800 times I've beat the 49ers. Every single time he threw that play, it was a guarantee that they were going to catch the ball. But like, this is different. It's a different year. And so the 49ers defense is fantastic. Nick Bosa is insane. I think he really will genuinely be competing with Micah Parsons this year for Defensive Player of the Year. And the corner play is fantastic. You've got rookies stepping up. It's incredible. But none of that matters if Jimmy can't get the ball in the end zone.
Did Kyle call a bad game, though?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing nobody wants to talk about. Everyone wants to talk about how Jimmy, you know, obviously. And by the way, Jimmy, that was really dumb to you know, get a safety called on you in the end zone. But, you know, people said it during the game. And then Kyle admitted to it afterwards. He's like, I shouldn't have called a screen. You know, that was my bad. I put him in a terrible position because where are you going to go? And
right.
And, you know, the punting was, by the way, one of the best punting games I think I've ever seen, the small storyline that it is. That was the third time that game.
What was it, like 18 total punts in this game?
Yeah, and but like three times that the ball was on the 1 yard line for a team. So the other time the 49ers had the ball on the one, they ran it and they got like 3 or 4 yards and got out of there a little bit to give them some breathing room. This time Kyle calls a screen and Jimmy's like, you know, doing the best that he can. Now, this is kind of what I'm really confused about. Jimmy's best throws are in the middle. If you look at statistically, if you look at the grid of the NFL field, where Jimmy does the best, it's down the middle. Where does George Kittle the most dangerous? Kittle in the middle, right? It's like literally it rhymes. We use it all the time. George Kittle had 5 targets last night, but it really felt like 2. like, I understand that he was coming back.
That's fair. Like, this is his first game back. Like, this is, I mean,
but they said he was trying to go back week one.
I'm sure he was. The man's a menace. But, like, you got to ease him back into this. If you're, like,
And if that is the case,
you can't lose him too. You just lost Lance. You got to keep this. You got to.
You just lost
you gotta
Trent Williams.
Yeah,
and like I get it. If that's the point, sure. But I do think genuinely,
yeah,
that Kyle Shanahan, for whatever reason, whether he hates Jimmy, whether he doesn't like what he can do with Jimmy, or whether he's just outthinking himself, I think Kyle is really. I mean, dog, Deebo Samuel, 5 carries last night for 1.6 yards.
Mm.
Do you think that maybe those targets could have been useful going to Kittle instead of trying? Dude, running Deebo last year was genius. It worked fantastic. It was beautiful. And, you know, Deebo arguably also had some great runs week one and two. But this time, when they needed to score, this defense was ready for it. And I think when that's kind of that's the factor here is if you're going to play a good defense, they're going to understand what Kyle Shanahan wants to do. And I think Kyle is stubborn, and I don't know that he's actually out here really like adjusting.
Couldn't be my team. Cordarrelle Patterson, elite last year, elite this year. He is, I think he had a career high running the football yesterday, all over the Seahawks defense. That game was wild. My teams just don't really punt anymore, Evan Swords. I don't know if you knew this or not, but Tennessee and the Atlanta Falcons, the punting is no longer in the playbook. But and Marcus Mariota, he had a bad pick at the end, but Arthur Smith took credit for that. Geno Smith still carved up this Falcon secondary for the most of the night. There's a lot of issues. Casey Hayward had a really, really rough game, and they went at him a lot. Richie Grant, though, pop in, which is great. The game sealing interception. Mikael Walker was really good in this one. Rashawn Evans had dropped like 2 picks. Grady Jarrett coming through at the very end with a big time sack. There were some positives. The pass rush still just isn't there. But Drake London, my friend, is so much fun. And Kyle Pitts was targeted early and often. I sent in the Atlanta Sports Guys group chat where I was like, oh, Arthur Smith is trolling. The first play of the game was a deep bomb to Kyle Pitts. After the week of like, hey, why aren't you ever targeting Kyle Pitts? What is the deal? Why did you take number 4 overall last year if you're not going to use this guy? First drive was Pitts, 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 Pitts. And it turns out it works. Kyle Pitts is unguardable. Like the fact that there is not a wheel design concept for Kyle Pitts on every drive is silly. There's just no matchup for him most weeks. With you having a Deebo and a George Kittle, you're familiar with just matchup problems for a lot of teams where it's like if they don't have a body who can stay with this person, you need to be prioritizing that week over week, and there's just not going to be many people in this league who can keep up with Kyle Pitts and do what he does. But Mariota was fine. He took a lot of chances. He's taking more deep shots than I thought he would to this point in the year. I still don't think he's long for the starting job, but no. Look, this was this is a big win. This team's fighting hard. They're resilient. They could have folded after brutal losses. I mean, the come-from-behind win and then just what they did with the Saints the week prior. I mean, there's a case that they're 2-0, at the very least 1-1, and they could be 2-1 right now. So, I don't know. Better spot. The mean win average is like 6.7 or something like that last time I checked. So, if they get to 6-11, somewhere around there, that would not surprise me. But then you're like, oh, are we going to miss out on all the top quarterbacks because they're going to win just enough games to not get a Bryce or a CJ Stroud? I don't know. But
I mean, you saw how bad the Seahawks have played against the 49ers and now this team.
Yeah.
I don't think that you guys are playing the Seahawks every single week. So I expect Marcus to continue the tradition of doing just well enough to almost win. And I think that top pick is very close to you guys.
I don't know. There's still some positives. Cordarrelle running the ball the way he did was great, but Drake London is going to be a star. Like, Drake London is so much freaking fun, man. And if Calvin Ridley was available, this offense would be rather dangerous. How should Bears fans feel, Evan Swords? After 3 weeks, they're 2-1, and it's been awful for this offense. Like, this offense is quite bad. And there's been like this, well, let's see. Let's wait and see on Justin Fields. Let's wait and see on this. They're not throwing the ball at all. This is amazing. They have thrown 45 pass attempts this season. the fewest through three games since the 1982 New England Patriots when they threw 44. They're winning this way. You've already played the Bears once. You played in the monsoon. But, like, if you're a Bears fan, are you feeling good about the wins? Are you feeling good about Matt Eberflus? Are you concerned that, like, there's something more here? Justin Fields, there has to be an issue. Because everyone's throwing. Josh Allen's throwing 70 times. You have guys all around the league. Everyone's just throw. Even if they're not available. Joe Flacco's slinging it 50 times. And here's Justin Fields. 45 pass attempts in 3 weeks. I mean, what are you feeling if you're a Bears fan right now?
I mean, the Bears were never going to be competitive this year. So, like, the idea that they were, I mean, the 49ers, you know, lost in a rainstorm. Mm. The Bears were able to score when it stopped raining. Like, Darnell Mooney is supposed to be their ex-receiver, right? Mm. He had 6 targets. 2 receptions, 23 yards. Now, is that Justin? Is that Mooney? Is it a little bit of both? Who knows? But when your ex receiver is doing that and you got 20 carries to a running back, like, your defense better be able to handle it. If you run the ball that much, it's because you're hoping that your defense is able to keep them off the field.
Mm.
So I don't, once again, similar to the Falcons, I don't know if the Bears are going to be able to play the Texans. Or in a rainstorm, you know, for that many more games. But yeah, I mean, I have people that I respect that say Fields has looked just awful playing football. You know, the best plays that he had against the 49ers were runs.
Yeah.
So I get it. But he was never set up for success in the first place. You know, I made the joke to my buddy who's a Bears fan. I was like, blow it up. And he's like, we did last year. Literally, yeah. We blew it up. And I was like, yeah, you know. And I think... I don't know. You know, I look at players like Trey Lance, who, even though we didn't see a lot, you know, he had everything going for him. And I just don't feel like that Kyle was giving him the right game plan. And he wasn't successful in the short time he was here, plus last year. So, you know, even when you have everything, if you don't use them correctly, you can have issues. Justin Fields has nothing on that team worth, you know, writing home about. And who knows how his coach is playing. I'm not out on Justin Fields yet. If I'm a Bears fan, I'm furious that they've already won 2 games. You want that draft pick, but you already have a quarterback. So, you know, in a quarterback heavy draft class that is coming up, I do believe.
I mean, are we sure they have a quarterback?
I do. I think so. Justin Fields is a fantastic guy. You got to give him time.
This is what he said after the game to Courtney Cronin of ESPN. Quote, straight up, I just played. I don't want to say the A word, but I played like trash. Really just got to be better.
But I mean, you know, we love a self-aware king.
Yeah.
We do.
I want Justin Fields. A local Atlanta kid, went to, I think, Harrison High School back home. Like, I want Justin Fields to succeed. He completed 8 of 17 passes for 106 yards. He took 5 sacks in this game. Threw 2 picks. It's the Texans. Tier 2.
The Texans have, I think, a sneaky good defense this year, so I'm not surprised that they were able to get 5 sacks. But yeah, once again... Another thing that I don't know that we're talking about enough is every year, the first 2 or 3 games in the NFL, nothing makes sense. Everything's sloppy. People are just still getting ready. I think that's the most this year that it's ever been. Like, there are plenty of teams right now that have winning records that are bad teams. There are plenty of teams with losing records that are good teams. There's a lot of things that don't make sense. The only thing that does make sense is that the really bad teams are bad.
Yeah. I mean, some teams really had to save their years. Like, the Colts are almost in do or die. Like, they were in do or die time and had to really scrape by against the Chiefs. And we'll talk about that in a second. But, I mean, the Raiders falling to 0-3. We'll pour one out for your Los Angeles Chargers, where I might need to cut up my tape for our preseason prediction pods and everything I've said about the Chargers and what's going on in Los Angeles. The Theo and Evan team up conversation from a few weeks ago, where I was like, let's see them healthy for a full year. Let's see it happen. Rashawn Slater gone for the year, elite left tackle. Gone for the year. JC Jackson's been out. I mean, Derwin, you go up and down the list. Herbert's now banged up. I mean, there's something cursed about the Los Angeles Chargers. And every year we're like, yeah, if we can turn off injuries, yeah, buy the Chargers stock.
Right.
But it's just, it's not going to happen. Like, the Chargers are just, it's not happening, Evan. And I feel bad for your guy, Justin Herbert, because he had another insane throw in this one. In the beatdown, the Jaguars, where Trevor Lawrence is now just very much a top 10 quarterback in this league. And it's pretty amazing, like, the crimes that Urban Meyer and that staff committed last year with Trevor Lawrence, because this is how good he is immediately post Urban Meyer is insane. But goodness
but
gracious.
Is it a crime, or is it the best thing that literally could have happened to him?
Is like it experiencing
the best...
that
best thing that literally could have happened to him, because here we are. And yo, everyone made fun of the Christian Kirk signing.
I didn't. I said it raised the floor. Like, they raised the floor.
Right.
Zay
but
Jones,
everyone,
all those guys. Yeah.
Everyone made fun of it. And the man has been one of the best receivers in the league.
Yeah.
You know, and much as I want to talk about how I want to talk about how the Chargers, it does suck, right? Slater, Bosa. I mean, dude, fire that head coach tomorrow after making Justin Herbert go in and throw 45 times, playing
but
into
also,
the fourth
why was
quarter,
he still
down
in the game?
21,
yeah.
21 points, down 21 points. He's playing in that game. So absolutely,
yeah, I don't know
Justin
why
Justin Herbert
still in the
shouldn't
game.
Have even played in that game. Take the L.
Yeah,
but no, of course they got. I mean, how much worse off is Justin Herbert going to be now after he threw 45 times with broken ribs? So I totally agree, but I think my point was how much I would like to talk about the Jaguars. I mean, what I said something, and I said it, and I meant it. I said that my most likely player out of the quarterbacks that got drafted for failing was Trevor Lawrence, and the reason why was because the organization. And then, of course, they go out and they bring Urban Meyer and what is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. And then they recalibrate, right? They bring in Doug Peterson, who is one of the safest head coaching hires. He's got a history with working with Nick Foles, won a Super Bowl. They bring in another person to co-GM, essentially, to fix the bulky mess that it is, right? So, like, you know, it's like I was right, but you were too, where it was like they really did destroy him from an organizational standpoint, but then they immediately fixed it. I'm excited. I want guys like, you know, Trevor Lawrence. I want guys like Andrew Luck. I want guys like that to have the ability to thrive and be the person that we think they are pre-draft. And Trevor Lawrence looks like he is. James Robinson came off an ACL tear, or excuse me, an Achilles tear. James Robinson's one of the best running backs in the NFL. He's the only running back that's had a touchdown in every single game so far this year. Travis Etienne, pretty good blocker. He's actually doing not only a great job as a runner, but he's also doing a great job as a passer. 3 for 30, averaging 10 yards a reception. I mean, these things are working out for the team. And I'm excited for him. I would love to see Trevor Lawrence thrive. And I think the Jaguars, if any team in the NFL deserves to be a competitive team, it's the Jaguars, man. That Miles Jack year that they had in the playoffs, that they had to go to the playoffs with Blaine Gabbert, like, dog, they deserve
Blake
this.
Blake Bortles.
Same thing. How dare you assume that they're not the same thing?
Wasn't Gabbert a Niner at one point?
49ers legend Blaine Gabbert? Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Was that a Chip Kelly year? Was that a Chip Kelly era?
Yeah, that was he was the backup to Colin Kaepernick.
There you go. Trevor had just a beautiful throw late to Marvin Jones, put him up 38-10. I mean, you mentioned ETN. He's healthy. He's been great. James Robinson is just the best running back that no one talks about. Like, everything is just working. Like, everything. Trevor Lawrence is just, I mean, through three games, 772 yards, 6 TDs, 1 pick. Like, I think you look at this and you're just like, he threw 12 total TDs last year. He's already at 6. His quarterback rating is 103.1. He's completing 70% of his passes in year two. I mean, he's Peyton. Like, he is Peyton without the personality in Jacksonville. And that is just, the Jaguars lucked out, where I was like, they didn't overthink it. And they get Trayvon Walker, who's going to be a star for them for years to come. Tyson Campbell had a really good game for Jacksonville in this one. Their corner, who a lot of folks were like, oh, they reached on Tyson Campbell out of Georgia. He's been great. I don't know. Everything is coming up Jacksonville right now. And, I mean, are they the favorite for you in the AFC South?
I mean, I will say this. They are absolutely going to compete for the AFC South. But, like, as bad as the Colts played week one and two, you don't go in and beat the Chiefs and at least have us. I mean, we at least have to go, okay, well, you know, let's wait.
So you're not
see.
Even throwing the Titans in the conversation anymore.
I never was. I told you that.
Yeah,
I said
well,
that
your best friend's
one.
Titans guy. I was giving you an opportunity to make
him I was trying to tell him to join the 49ers. You could be a 49ers fan. I've been telling him that for years.
Yeah.
No, but no, absolutely not. The Titans will never go anywhere with Ryan Tannehill as the quarterback. He never will.
Mm.
I mean, I'd argue that they should have just kept Mariota the whole time, never done anything with Tannehill.
I mean, they got
just
number one seed with Tannehill. Number one seed in the AFC last year.
Yeah, and how are they doing this year?
I mean, it's all it's all falling down. Like, it's all coming apart. But it's really hard to win with those kind of guys for a sustained period of time in the NFL. And I think just the buck is due for a guy like Ryan Tannehill. And Trevor Lawrence is here. David Mills is obviously not the guy in Houston. We're figuring that out. And Matt Ryan getting back on track in Indianapolis. And we'll see what happens there. The Titans, though, they did beat the Raiders. And the Raiders are now the only 0-3 team in the NFL. Shout out to my coworkers, Darren Waller and Max Crosby. They deserve better here at Blue Wire because they... Max Crosby, I have a stat for you. He has he had a sack and four hurries in just 25 pass rush snaps in this one against the Titans, which came down the last minute. Max Collins or Hollins, I forget which one it was. Mac Hollins or Collins, I can't remember if it's Collins or Hollins. I'm just going to keep saying that really fast. But he was really great in this one. But, I mean, the Raiders, this is bonkers from Raiders beat. They do not have a sack from anyone outside of Max Crosby through three games. I mean, that's rough, man. It's just... The Raiders, I mean, this is bad. The Raiders are now, and honestly, just the AFC West that we were so wondering. It's like, are they going to get three playoff teams? I don't know if this is an overreaction, Evan, but like, they're going to be lucky. They're just going to get their one, it looks like. Because the Broncos, I don't know how anyone is feeling good about Nathaniel Hackett and this Broncos offense through 3 weeks. I don't know how anyone's feeling good about the Chargers' injuries and what's happening to them right now. Raiders are 0-3. We know how hard it is to climb out of that hole, starting that way. It's really just the Chiefs by default. The AFC West might just already be a dumpster fire.
I mean, the Broncos defense is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, Patrick Surtain was good.
And I will say this. I can confidently say this, that I am right, that Russell Wilson played one of his worst football games ever last night.
Was that because of the Niners' number one defense, in your opinion, or do you think he looks different? He's just on the back end of his career.
That's the thing. I think it was the Niners' defense because what I will say is a guy who has been tormented by Russell Wilson for the better part of a decade.
Mm.
I saw last night at the end of the game that same Russell Wilson that is always there lingering. And as long as that guy is in that body, as long as that guy exists, I'm not counting the Broncos out, especially with that defense. I said it before, I'll say it again. The beginning of the season is weird.
Mm-hmm.
And Hackett is a bad coach. I think that's very obvious. He's way in over his head. They were trying to get Aaron Rodgers there, so they hired Hackett as like a, I guess, a, I don't know, maybe a bargaining chip. But nah, he's in over his head. I think the better or the sooner that they let Russell Wilson just kind of take over, the better. But yeah, I mean, I don't know that they're going to be as dominant as I thought they were, but like, dog, that defense is good. I mean, a defense that has Bradley Chubb on it, and I was just like enthralled with everybody else on the defense. Like, really, like, I mean, they played fantastic. And I mean, dude, we know how good Russell Wilson can do with a good defense. So, you know, having K'Wan Williams, that's a great thing. But Randy Gregory, man, Randy Gregory looks fantastic next to, Bradley Chubb. So I don't know. We'll see. But I'm not counting the Packers out yet.
No, for sure.
No, not Packers, the Broncos, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders are just done. I don't know. It, like, this just looks like an absolute mess. Davante Adams, 7 catches for 48 yards the last 2 weeks. I mean,
by the way, what did I say?
You were right about the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
I didn't have them winning the division. I just said that they had the highest floor, where I was like, I just don't see them just being bad. I didn't see a case for them being bad. They're bad.
Well, I mean, also, too, can we talk about how many times Josh McDaniels has threatened these poor teams about coming out and being a head coach, and Indianapolis almost made that mistake, and then here we are, and the Raiders finally sign this, you know, finally Josh McDaniels comes out to be a head coach, and he looks terrible. Like, how many wins would the Raiders have right now if they would have kept the special teams coach, interim head coach?
I don't know. That's tough.
They played harder for him than they do Josh McDaniels.
I mean, Patrick Graham, I think, he's the one who needs to be feeling some heat a little bit right now. The 0-3, because, I mean, Derek Carr hasn't been great, but the offensive line's been bad, and that's been a big part of this. But Max Crosby cannot be the only one generating any pressure. Like, that cannot be it. And they have too many weapons on offense to be where they're at. I mean, Raiders, man, it's rough. I didn't have Josh McDaniels first coach fired, but they also brought in Ziegler. They just brought in a bunch of Pats guys. Like, I think he's safe for a while. I don't think he's. And speaking of you mentioned the Packers. I think that's where the special teams coach went, right? Isn't Rich Rosicka the special teams coach over there in Green Bay? Another thing, Baltimore Ravens. Doug Keed, who does a great job for PFF, had a really good piece on the Ravens beating down the Pats on the road yesterday. He said, quote, "The Baltimore Ravens quarterback is the first player in NFL history with back-to-back games of over 100 yards rushing and at least 3 touchdown passes. He's the first player in the Super Bowl era with 10-plus passing touchdowns and 100-plus rushing yards in the first 3 games of a season. He joins Cam Newton and Randall Cunningham as the only players in NFL history to throw 4 touchdown passes and rush for 100 yards in a single game."
Yeah.
Is he your MVP leader right now?
Well, I mean, I guess if you're going to ask that, I would ask, who is on your list of MVP leaders?
Right now, I would say, I mean, do we throw Trevor Lawrence on this list right now? The Jaguars win the AFC South. Are we sure we can't throw Trevor Lawrence out? I would probably go. Let me think. Definitely not Tom Brady. Probably Josh Allen. The Eagles is tough because Jalen Hurts probably deserves to be on this, but like that's just a whole team effort. You could sell me on Justin Jefferson being on this list. Lamar, obviously.
So let me just say this.
Trevor Lawrence.
To me, Lamar Jackson is number one for me for MVP right now. And I think if you're only going off week 3, I can see Aaron Rodgers getting back into that conversation because he always is.
There's it's just hard. He's won, what, two in a row? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard. Hard to see that.
But I mean, Hurts is playing fantastic, but he's just not the best player on that team, let alone the MVP of the league.
Like Devontae Smith, I don't know if you saw some of the catches he was bringing in yesterday. Devontae Smith was insane. And
do you understand as a 49ers fan how absolutely frustrating it is to see Devontae Smith and AJ Brown kill it, and also have Dallas Goedert, who's a pretty decent. Tight end.
He's a good tight end. He's top 10.
Right. Very, very much so agree. But like, do you understand how frustrating it is to see that with Jalen Hurts, who's supposed to be a decent at best quarterback? Like, why can't Kyle Shanahan is a offensive genius.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't he use his players? Do you think that George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, and Brandon Ayuk on any other team? Don't you think even if the quarterback sucked, they'd still find a way to give him the ball? Like, I look at the Eagles, and I see Devontae Smith just killing it. I see AJ Brown killing it. I'm like, dog, like the 49ers should have that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit frustrating.
I will say, though, the discourse with Lamar, I think people still dismiss this for whatever reason, is that like, oh, pay the man. How is this man not pay him whatever he wants? I don't think it's about this year. It's always been about the time. It's always been about the years. It's always been about the guaranteed money, where Lamar is doing insane stuff. He's starting and stopping. Like, there were some plays in this game where it's like you could easily see just a bad injury come about with how much he's running the football and the kind of start-stop nature and just getting older and injuries happen. It's going to happen, unfortunately. Like, for the way he plays, which is elite, and you can win a Super Bowl in this window with him, the issue is not now. The issue is 3 years from now. The issue is 2 years from now. When it's over for Lamar, it's over. The door shuts quickly.
Under any circumstances, never. You can never not extend your franchise quarterback because of the fear of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. There's no way. You don't get that luxury. And honestly, shout out to Lamar Jackson for saying, okay, go ahead. I'll play anyways. Because right now, I mean, look at him. You know what did you think about his last game and overall the last season he's had?
Lamar for just this past one against the Pats?
Yeah. I mean, he's got 10 touchdowns, two interceptions.
I mean, Lamar is, I said before the year, I had the Ravens win this division. I thought this was going to be a big time season for him. I thought Lamar was going to, I mean, this was my Super Bowl pick, remember? On the pod, I had the Ravens in the Super Bowl. Like, I saw this coming, but I also was just that, like, man, this is gonna end quick. And I mean, he does some fun stuff with Mark Andrews. He had this like shovel pass touchdown that was super cool with Mark in this one, and they have a great connection. He found Duvernay in a crazy goal line fade that was just perfect placement. Like, he's an elite passer, elite runner with the football, but he's undersized and he runs a lot, and it's helpful because he wins a lot of football games using everything in his arsenal. But everything in his arsenal is going to eventually come back to bite him. Like, that's just how this game works, is eventually it will come back to bite him. Does that mean it's going to happen now or next year? No. Is it going to happen within like a 4-year time span? Yeah, probably. But this year you go in a Super Bowl with him. Next year, still good, but like, you're just playing with fire with this style and with Lamar's body and just the way he plays. Like, I love Lamar Jackson. He was my MVP choice before the year. Had him in the Super Bowl. I understand the concern of like, this does not end well when it ends, and it's going to end abruptly, and we just don't know when.
I mean, I get it. I understand the concept, but like, it's just not a fair discourse for Lamar. Lamar Jackson continues to play at the highest level humanly possible.
Yeah.
And
he should have just gotten the money like 2 to 3 years ago. Like, I would have just done the years and just paid him super early. Like, done in the Kyler thing.
But that's like my point, right? It's like everyone is giving him the worst case scenario for these talks and discussions and circumstances about him getting paid. And all he does is go out on the field and be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And here we go. Everyone is like, oh, you know, oh man, what are we going to do here? Like, you know, how he's going to get himself injured. Well, it's like, I mean, once again, 749 yards passing, averaging 8.5 yards a carry, 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions in week 3. Like,
I mean, he's going to run for 1,000 yards again. He ran for 1,000 yards 2 years ago. Like, that's eventually going to catch up to him. Like, it just is.
I mean, I get it, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, once again, like, look at like week one, like, he ran 17 yards.
Yeah.
And he threw for 3 touchdowns. Like, I understand the concern, but as a guy who just watched Trey Lance run an identical play, but straight into the middle of the, you know, the team. And then yesterday, like, I shout out to Ted Wynn of The Athletic, who pointed this out. Lamar ran the exact same play that got Trey Lance hurt. But instead of running it straight in there, he recognized what was going on, bounced out, and took it for 15 yards. And, you know, Trey Lance is injured and out for the season now for things that we're thinking or worried about Lamar Jackson doing. And, you know, Lamar needs to get credit. He is protecting his body, sliding when he needs to slide, and he's also dunking on every single defense that he plays against, throwing the ball all over the field. Pay the man.
That's fair. That's fair. Let's see. Was there any other thing we needed to hit across the board? Do you have any other? Mac Jones needs to stop throwing to Devontae Parker. He has like 3 picks when targeting Devontae Parker this year. 2 in this game alone. Stop doing it. There's something with the Devontae Parker discourse where, Evan, it just, he always seems like a good fit. He's a great theoretical player. We've always all liked Devontae Parker. And we're like, oh, if he just gets the right quarterback, right system, Devontae, it's going to work out. It's never going to happen.
Devontae Parker was the guy that I always wanted the 49ers to draft.
See, everyone wants him.
Yeah, and it just didn't work out. I mean, he was on the 49ers team. Don't forget that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the 49ers, last thing on that, your boy, Mike McDaniel, 3-0. I texted you about this because I was like, the ending of the Dolphins, I mean, Ken Dorsey losing his mind, breaking the play sheet and losing his mind upstairs.
49ers legend.
Oh, my God. Another former 49er, but Mike McDaniel, 3-0. Do we have to have the Dolphins are the best team in the AFC conversation, Evan?
I mean, nothing makes me reminisce of the 49ers and Jim Harbaugh quite like Mike McDaniel right now.
Mm.
You look at Mike McDaniel, who goes in with a team that has the talent, that has a quarterback that no one believed in, and he walks in and he goes, I believe in you. And I think this team can compete. And I think there's something to say about coaches who, like, this was my overall thought so far on Mike McDaniels.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be an asshole like Bill Belichick, you better win, right? And if you're going to be nice to players, you better be smart enough, right, to actually be able to coach a team. But you can't be one or the other. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be an asshole and not win games. Right, but here's Mike McDaniel, who's one of the nicest guys in football, super positive, believes in his players, gives them the benefit of the doubt, goes for it on fourth down because I believe in my players, and he also is incredibly smart and knows how to scheme football games. And guess what? It works.
Mm.
And I think that's a dangerous combination. And because, you know, hey, man, if Tua doesn't work, they've got 2 first-round draft picks ready to make a move for a quarterback.
Yeah.
But if he does work, they might have a steal. That's a good football team.
Yeah, I think the thing with them is they need to gobble up as many regular season games as possible. Like, you don't want to in this group going to Buffalo or Baltimore or Kansas City or something in mid-January. That's the thing, is you want to be the number one overall seed, or you want to buy. You want to be the Dolphins need to gobble up as many regular season wins as possible. But the defense is legit. Holland's a star. I mean, as Khaleesi the dog makes an appearance for the first time in the podcast in the background, so shout out to youtube.com/ChaseTomsPodcast. You can see her. But, yeah, I don't know. I think the Dolphins are legit. Like, the AFC tiers right now, I think the ones we can be certain about will be here in January. I think it's the Chiefs.
Let me remind you of that. The Chiefs, like you mentioned, the Bills, of course. Right,
Ravens.
The teams that we thought. Well, here's the Miami Dolphins schedule following going 3-0. The Bengals, the Jets, the Vikings, the Steelers, the Lions, the Bears, the Browns, Texans, 49ers, Chargers, Bills, Packers, then the Patriots.
That's what you want.
That's a 12-win team if things go right. That's a 12-win team. They might be the number one seed in the AFC.
That's might huge. Be the, they have to get that.
This
Anything's
might be
possible
the 49ers and Harbaugh all over again. They might blow everyone out of the water. They might win all these games playing smart football, taking care of the ball, good defense, and they might win the AFC.
Is that part of the issue, though, that's under talked about, is just losing McDaniel, Saleh, all these dudes on the staff the last couple of years? Do you think that's an underplayed part of this?
About the 49ers?
Yeah, just like losing that much coaching talent in a short amount of time.
No, I don't, because losing Saleh, the defense is playing out of their mind.
Yeah.
The defense is fantastic. And I mean, you know, shout out to D'Amico Ryans. I didn't believe in him, but I was cautiously optimistic about any player coming in and becoming a defensive coordinator, former player. Now, the offense, though, there was always talk about how Mike McDaniel might have, like, forced his hand to get Kyle to do things that he might not want to do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people talked about how Mike McDaniel is one of the biggest Jimmy Garoppolo fans in the NFL.
Hmm.
And he's gone now. There's no one else, right? Anthony Lynn is not combating with you know, Kyle Shanahan. Anthony Lynn is just hanging out waiting for his next head coaching job.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That running game does not look great.
That offensive room is just, remember some Broncos at some point or another? Brian Greasy, Anthony Lynn. Remember these Broncos?
Yeah. I mean, dude, the running game is the one thing that I want everyone to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Raheem Mostert, right? Matt Breida. These are running backs that haven't done much since they've left, right? But they were insanely good under Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniel.
Mm.
Now here they go. 2 years in a row, they draft a running back in the second or third round. Tyrion Davis Price, right? Certain little guy who no longer plays for the team, Trey Sermon,
yeah.
The Ohio State University. They're not seeing the field, especially Trey Sermon. The running back, I mean, they got Jeff Wilson, who has been just, you know, a jag, just another guy for the last five seasons, being a really like good backup. The running game, especially under Trey Lance week one, statistically looks good. They've mm-hmm. run the ball over 100 yards. There's nothing dynamic about them. There's mm-hmm. nothing exciting. No one is afraid of the 49ers running game. So do I think that Robert Saleh was a big loss? Nah, that he's not doing much with the Jets team. But Mike McDaniels just might be, because that running game don't look good.
There you go. Evan, it's time for your two-minute Sourds hot take. It's time. The regular season's back. It's time for Sword Says. What do you got for us this week?
Dog, I touched on it earlier, but I want to emphasize this again for the 49ers fans that watch this podcast on YouTube.com mm-hmm. or listen to the podcast. You don't know what Kyle Shanahan is doing just because you watch film. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you have the slightest clue what you're looking at. I'm so tired. I swear to God, Chase, I swear to God. I watched some fan, a fan, not a professional, not a coach, never played football, does not try to be like, Jimmy stared down the receiver. Jimmy stared him down. It was a two-step drop back. The literal time before release of the ball was 2 seconds. No quarterback on earth is looking away safeties with their eyes in a two-second release. It's never happened before. It'll never happen again. People are like, other quarterbacks do. Jimmy always stares down the receiver. Just to make a point, went and watched every snap of Tom Brady against the Packers. And literally never didn't stay. He was always staring the receiver down, except for like a couple throws where he was doing a four and a half step drop back. Like, I'm tired of fans. You know, you want to go do the work? Cool. You want to read the books? You want to watch film? You want to talk, you know, like pick the brains of people that know the stuff? Fine. But you can't in the same sentence say that Kyle Shanahan is one of the smartest play callers in the NFL and that also you know what the hell you're looking at. I'm just it's mind-boggling to me that, like, you know, they're like, "Oh, Jimmy, like Kyle Shanahan is the most stubborn head coach in the NFL." And the idea that, like, he's out there just like, "Hey, Jimmy, you know, throw whoever you want. Throw to whoever you think might get open." No, Kyle is looking at Jimmy every time before the snap with a knife in his hand going, "If you throw it to anyone other than who I tell you to, I will stab you." But like, you have these fans that are like, oh, why isn't he throwing to Debo? Debo was open. Probably because he was told to throw it to Kittle, period. I don't know. It's a very, very specific thing for a very specific football team, but I'm just tired of these armchair quarterbacks going that don't know anything about football other than, you know, whatever. And they watch film and they're like, "Oh, look at this. This player is open." It's like, there's no one on earth that knows who the ball was supposed to go to other than the people on that team. And you don't. Just because you see a player open does not mean that was the first or second read. Not that it's not like I have an emotional opinion
right, or
about it or anything like that. It's just, you know, thoughts.
That was good. I like that. Do you feel better?
No, absolutely not. These people are insane. You know what's funny? And I mean, to put a bow on it, Jimmy Garoppolo played terrible last night. There's a million things that you could complain about or critique, but not that.
I like it. Evan, are you ready for our pick'em this week? Our Screw the Lions Week 4 edition.
Sure am.
2 minutes on the clock. Let's run through this, my friend.
All right. So we got Week 4.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins versus Bengals, Thursday night.
Looks a lot better than it did a week ago. Now the Bengals bounced back in a big way. They figured some stuff out. Joe Burrow did a lot better against the Blitz this weekend. The Jets were just what the doctor ordered there for Cincy. Where is this one?
This one is in Cincinnati.
Oof. I'm going to go Cincinnati here in a little bit of an upset and to come back down to earth moment for the Dolphins. I think this is a tough one.
I got to say, I feel bad for you, man, but your boy looks terrible this season.
Burrow was back. He was dealing this Sunday. He was back.
Dog, there are three games in
Herbert
this NFL season.
Herbert had to fall for Burrow to rise. Like, it was just one of those things.
I mean, I get it, man, but, like, there's three games in this NFL season so far, and if I'm going based off of all three of those games... I'm taking the Dolphins, baby, 4-0. After that, Vikings and Saints, a sneaky good game, but also maybe not.
No, because Jameis has like every broken bone imaginable and is still playing football week over week and not playing it well. So I don't really understand what's going on in New Orleans. It seems kind of counterintuitive to keep playing Jameis when he's this banged up. But and like all the armor they're putting on him to get through a game, which he has just not played well. The Saints offense stinks. Kamara and company have not gotten going whatsoever. The Vikings, huge come from behind. They should not have won that game on Sunday against the Lions. Some really bad late game coaching from Detroit, and then Jared Goff not driving down the field, 2-minute drill, and winning that one. But no, give me the Vikings here. I think also just being in the dome is nice for many. But yeah, give me the Vikings.
Cool. I'm gonna take the Vikings too. I said, you know, along the way that I thought there was a chance that the Vikings could compete for the Packers in that division. Still do. Mm-hmm. Cousins was balling week three. That aside, Browns and Falcons. I don't know if I like this game. You're the Falcons guy. What do you think?
I mean, Jacoby Brissett had the best game of his career last Thursday, and they get a lot of time off. I mean, what might change some of this, and it's not good, and I don't know how to really talk about it because we don't really know. We just know he's okay. He's just in the hospital treating it. But Myles Garrett like flipped his car today multiple times.
Did you see the photo of it?
Yeah, like looked pretty bad. So we'll see what his availability and what he's looking like, because I mean that's a huge determining factor in how I see this game going for the Falcons and their offensive line especially. But I think, man, the Falcons are gonna lose this game. But it's going to be close. The Falcons are going to keep playing these close games. They're going to be in it. And then Jacoby Brissett does just enough to beat the Falcons late. So give me the Browns, but I think this will be close, unfortunately.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Do they figure out to keep giving Kyle Pitts the ball?
I mean, it's really a defense. This defense still sucks. Like, it's a mess. And Jacoby Brissett just diced up a much better defense and Pittsburgh a week ago. So
I don't believe in the Browns, and I really don't want to see them 3-1, but I do think they win this game. I am not gonna lie, man. If the Browns win four games, that's good enough for Deshaun Watson to come in. So I think as much as we all hate Deshaun Watson and the Browns, they might be making a deep playoff run this year. The Commanders and the Cowboys, two teams nobody cares about.
Man, that was a rough Carson Wentz game last week.
By the way, before you go, I should say the best tweet I think I saw all season is they said, Cooper Rush better be careful. Otherwise, he might end up throwing the ball for the Carolina Panthers.
I like the Cowboys here. I think the Washington Commanders are an absolute mess. Also, those uniforms really suck. They're so nondescript, that those white ones where you have no idea what you're looking at. At least the Washington football team still had the red and yellow that were strong colors, and like they really leaned into the yellow. There's no colors here. Like, it's so generic. They're awful. These uniforms are terrible. I hate it.
I mean, hey, they just changed their team name. I wonder if they maybe figure it out down the line.
I hope so. It can't be any worse.
But other than that, yeah, I'll take the Cowboys here. I think both teams suck. Seahawks and Lions.
Mm.
As a 49ers fan, man, I really hope the Seahawks win because I don't want them to get a quarterback in the draft.
Mm.
And I think this is a game where they can do it. The Lions, you know, like I said, the Lions keep playing respectable football, but they just can't punch that ticket.
I think it's going to be the Lions. I think they have to bounce back. Like, this is do or die time, Dan Campbell. This Seahawks team is not very good. And I think the Lions made a lot of progress on defense this season. And this should be one they win. Jamal Williams had a really good game. And we'll see if that, with him, Williams and Swift, if that's legit week over week. But the Seahawks team is not good. Watching them up close is, this is not a good team. And the Lions should win at home. Or Dan Campbell should be feeling a pretty warm seat, is what I'll say there.
The Titans and the Colts.
Mm.
The Colts are about to go into week four with only one loss. It doesn't look like that because of that tie.
Yeah,
but I think the Colts win. This is in Indianapolis, in the dome, and I think the Colts win. What about you?
I think the Titans win this game. I'm still not convinced by the Colts, man. Like, the Chiefs had a terrible game from hell. They couldn't pass protect. They couldn't run the ball. The Colts defense is good, but I don't know. I think the Titans survived a little bit. Maybe they turn the corner. I'm just not going to I can't completely write off the Titans until it happens. I'm not picking the Colts to get past the Titans hurdle in this division until it actually happens.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Bears and Giants.
That game's going to be rough. I don't want to watch any bit of that, but give me the Giants. Man, if the Giants win tonight, we're recording this on Monday Night Football and I'm at tape, so they could be, what, 4-0? After 4 weeks, that would be preposterous, but that's definitely in the cards.
I mean, you know, I won't ruin it for you, but I will say,
mm-hmm.
I'll
no,
say this.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Just save it.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to go the Giants, but only because I do think the Bears are in for a lot of trouble this year.
Yeah.
This is no one on earth week one thought this would be one of the best games of the year, but Jaguars and Eagles?
Ooh, the Doug Peterson Bowl.
Right?
This might be where the Eagles finally slip up a little bit. Trevor Lawrence, this is in Philly, right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Give me the Jaguars in an upset. The Doug Peterson revenge game. He has a lot of motivation to win this football game, and I think his guys are going to get up for it. I think this will be fun. I will have my eye all over this one, but no, give me the Jags in an upset.
I'm going Jaguars too, and I think this might be the coming out party for Trevor Lawrence. He's already had a fantastic year this year. It's a 10 a.m. game, so it's not like it's in prime time or anything, but I think going in and beating the 3-0 Eagles while they're as hot as possible, if he plays well enough, we might be going, wow, look at him. So I'm going to say the Jaguars as well. And then we will go into another terrible NFL game, the Jets and Steelers.
Mm. This is do or die time with Zach Wilson, right? He's back. The Steelers have looked awful offensively with Mitch Trubisky. I wonder if we see Kenny Pickett in this one. But Mitch Trubisky has to get right for this one. It's rough through 3 weeks. George Pickens really did not. There was a, I think Jarrett Bailey quote tweeted it from earlier. We're very upset at a read that Trubisky made earlier, and still just too much talent on that offense not to be doing more with Matt Canada and that group. So give me the Steelers at home, but it looks like Zach Wilson might play. So I'm very interested to see how that one goes. But yeah, give me the Steelers.
That's outstanding, man. Next, I think, and by the way, I also agree, Mitch Trubisky shouldn't have even been the starter, but it's probably good for the team that he did long term. Bills and Ravens, fantastic game.
This is going to be fun. Definitely the game of the week for me in Baltimore, but I think this is a Bills get right game. Losing their safety for the year. I was getting mixed up. Hyde or Poyer? Was it? It's Hyde, right? Who's out for the year with the neck thing.
Micah Hyde, yeah.
So that's a tough loss for them. But they had a lot of dudes out. Ed Oliveira was out this past week, but I think they'll get some guys back, and I think they'll bounce back. I don't think the Bills go on a 2-game losing streak here. I think they win in Baltimore.
Cool. I would say that, especially with Micah Hyde out for the year, I think it's going to be a fantastic game for Lamar Jackson, and I'm going for the Ravens.
Okay.
Chargers and Texans. Who is the quarterback for the Chargers this week?
I mean, I think Herbert's still going to play.
I hope he's okay to play.
Well, it's the Texans, so it's just what the doctor ordered.
If he is and he's healthy, they are rolling the Texans. I'll take the Chargers.
I'm going to take the Chargers. Like, you can't. The Texans are awful. They are an awful football team. So give me the Chargers.
By the way, little update while we're here. Myles Garrett is up and alert and responsive, but no information on his injuries at this time.
Okay.
That's from his agent, Nicole Lynn. Cardinals and Panthers. Another sneaky, terrible game.
Cardinals, man. I don't know. I'm reserving all the Cardinals judgment until Hop plays. Like, Brown was like targeted 40-something percent of the time to this point by Kyler. I want to see what they look like with Hop and Brown. Like, let me just get there in Ertz. Like, let's just get there. Because the defense has been okay. Like, they kept the Rams mostly in check in that one. They forced some big-time turnovers. I'm just waiting. Like, give me a little bit more time on the Cardinals. But I think they win this one. The Panthers, that was the Saints offense just broken. So give me the Cardinals a win in Carolina here.
Cool. I can't stress it enough. These teams are so disappointing on both ends of the spectrum. Panthers are so bad, though. I'm going to take the Cardinals. Patriots and Packers.
Woo!
This is going to be one of the worst losses the Patriots have had in the last decade, I think.
Oof. I agree. I think the Packers won big. No Mac Jones especially. Like, I think they get blown out in Lambeau.
Yep. The Broncos and Raiders come up next, and I think this is exactly what Russell Wilson needs. Coming off a big win against a good 49ers defense, he gets to play the 0-3 Raiders. I think everyone will be a little less
afraid. You're
going
0-4 Oakland or 0-4 Vegas?
Yeah, what?
Oh, man.
The Raiders are bad, dude.
I know,
but
I can't do it. I'm not a Broncos believer. I just am betting against the Broncos until it happens. This needs to end.
Derek Carr is going to play a fantastic defense.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Jacobs has less than 75 yards a game. This is not the running game that they need in order to be successful. They've got no defense right now. Russell Wilson's still got that magic in him. They're gonna win.
Give me the Raiders. I think 0-4 is just disastrous. They're gonna like.
I'm not a better duo than Chase Thomas believing in bad teams.
Hey, it's what we do. I have years of conditioning with Atlanta and Tennessee.
Chiefs and Bucks for the Sunday night game. Actually,
love
could
that
be
one.
Could be a good game. Personally, I think the Chiefs are the better team here. Tom Brady doesn't look that great anymore. I'm out on Tom Brady. I think it's here. Everyone is so big on Tom Brady.
I think he's out on right now. That man is not having fun.
Last year, Tom Brady looked good, but the team wasn't good enough to win. Mm. I think it's the same thing this year. Tom Brady can play good football, but he doesn't have the defense that is going to be needed to win these football games. I'm taking the Chiefs.
I'm going Bucks at home, man. I think they bounce back. That defense is legit. They caused all sorts of problems for Aaron Rodgers and that Green Bay team this week, and they were dealing with a lot of injuries. We'll see what gets back. A full week of Cole Beasley in practice. We'll see if he makes a difference for them, but they just need to get healthy. Julio is out for a while. I don't know. I think they just need to get healthy on that side of the ball and give Gronk a call. Gronk needs to be back sooner rather than later.
And then finally, so that your sweet dog.
Can you hear Khaleesi right now?
The whole time.
Amazing.
It's so great.
Wife is cooking and she smells the fish, the salmon, I think, being cooked now, and is absolutely losing her mind. I don't know why the wife put her in here, but she's. I didn't know you heard this. Okay. Yeah.
But just so we can get her out and moving into happiness, let's go the last game, which I have nothing to say about. I will not be making a pick. I don't care.
You got to make a pick.
49ers and Rams.
I think 49ers, right?
It's at home. I'm going to take the Niners. The defense played so well. But my God, dude, if they go 1-4 or 1-3, if Jimmy looks bad again, if the running game looks bad again, I'm worried.
That's fair. Give me the Niners as well.
You, I think, you know the differences between you and I think you just have a lot of respect for the home games.
I do.
No.
I look at it before it, and I'm just like, I mean, if you go like 50-50 or less than that, I think you're making a mistake. I do have a lot of respect for the home games.
And that's fair. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just think for, yeah, I don't know that I'm exactly the same.
My bread and butter is like 7-10, where like I want to do seven, at least seven home every week and figure out where I'm going to go on the rip a little bit. Evan Swartz, as we wrap up here, what do the good folks do who are subscribed to this very podcast?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because for once I actually have some fairly exciting stuff.
So
tomorrow at 11 a.m., I will be hosting from the 49ers website a fan engagement. It's going to be called Live with Evan Swartz.
Oh, wow.
And I will be on the 49ers team website doing my best to not swear like I do on this podcast. And I'll be answering questions from a live audience of fans online. Uh-huh. I'll be talking a little bit about next week. I'm going to try and not talk about the last game as much as possible, but Lord knows that will not be easy. So see me out there.
How to get unbanned from Twitter, unsuspend your account, like how to come back from the dead, everything.
I'm back,
this
baby.
Is going to be amazing. I can't believe they're handing it over to you. That's incredible.
Godspeed.
Well, go do that. Lock that in. You'll be hearing this the day of. So make sure you lock that in and join Evan and all the good folks over there in Niners country. Evan Swartz, thank you as always, my friend. And I will talk to you next week.
All right. Take care.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.